The gardening season is coming to its end here in Vermont. Reporter Erica Heilman drove around central Vermont and talked with people about the inevitable disappointments that come with our short growing season.
Well, my friend Gabrielle, I had not planned on planting tomatoes, and my friend Gabrielle gave me 10 slicers, 10 cherries, and they just became like trees, and I let them go. It was like the Little House of Horrors, you know, feed me.
That's my friend Barbara Butler, who works at the town clerk's office here in Calais. All over the state, Vermonters are putting their gardens to bed and getting ready for the long winter. So it's time to look back at all the disappointments, the failures, the crazy dashed dreams of success in an impossibly short gardening season. I love gardening over all things, and even though fall is beautiful, it is an acute reminder of the long dark that's coming. And in this maudlin spirit, I set off to talk with gardeners about their failures this year. Here's Paul Scheckel.
I have acres of disappointment. How many would you like to see? You want to know about fruit or bears and the bees or plum curculio that won't leave me alone? It's just, I gave up. Look, there's my garden now. You see that bucket? There's four herb plants in it now. I think I can keep those going, but I don't know.
This is Ann Greensfelder.
So what were your dashed hopes this year?
Squash. My squash hopes were squashed. Squashed squash, basically.
This is Skip Dewhurst and Lisbeth Moniz.
Slug wars. And, you know, like Elizabeth tries everything, putting little copper fence, copper strips around things.
And pie tins.
Just all kinds of things. And
hand-picking handfuls of them.
Yeah, so slug wars in the wet years, we never win.
This is Gordon Grunder.
Oh, the failure. We decided to grow some special heritage blue corn. It was a disaster all through the summer. Crows or blue jays or something came, not all in one day, but over like 3 or 4 days, and pulled up every single one, in spite of the little paper collars and everything, and planted a whole another round in the shop. They grew up till they were 10 feet tall, and then a bear came and tore down the fence and just had a party. Maybe it was 2 or 3 bears. They just ripped it up. It just, from start to finish, we couldn't win this year.
So the woodchucks moved. These were, I think, adolescent woodchucks from the way they were behaving. They were quite small. They moved from the garden, I think, because maybe their parents had kicked them out into the foundation of the house. I said, that's it. I can live with them, and they can't really, but in the garden. But the house, no. That's it. So chased my daughter out of the house, told her to go somewhere because I didn't want her to see her mom shoot anything. And I stood up in her bedroom window from the second floor. It was really like shooting fish in a fishbowl. Aimed down, bam, bam. It was sad. It was sad. But they went together.
This is Mary Alice Prophet.
I'm not a slave anymore to my garden. And back when I was young, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I got an invitation from the White House to come to a dinner. Can't make it. Got to work in my garden this weekend. And now I'm like, weed it once or twice a year, mulch it. And if you bloom, you're invited to be part of my family. And if you're ugly or hard to deal with, like, you need to move it on down the road.
I feel as though I can either have a garden or a social life. And all these years I've chosen the garden, and now I'm in my mid-70s, and it's occurred to me I should probably have more of a social life. But I'll tell you, when I go into the garden, I get to watch insects. Lots of times they're just fascinating to me. How do these insects manage to find each other and mate within a week when here I've been single for years now? Nature is awesome.
In gardening, spring is the time of beginning, and it's a lot of work to get everything in there, and you finally get it in, and then there's a almost serene part in the summer where, you know, you hope you keep up with it, and you don't. And then in the fall, it's finally over, And that first frost is such a relief. And even before that, you're just like, let's just tear it out. We're done.
Okay, so you don't worry, you don't feel afraid of the dark or of the winter?
No, I don't feel afraid of it. I don't like it to be as long as it is. But I also have things that I'm looking forward to doing inside that I have put off all these months. Reading, sewing. Yeah, it's going to get rough. I know it's going to get rough.
I think it's the bittersweet of knowing that life is so short and we're at the very tail end of this period of green, feeling alive and being out, and we're about to go into a period that's beautiful, but you know, we're moving into survival mode now, right? And so the bittersweet of these faded hues, you see all the gold of the goldenrod in the fields, the gold in the trees this time of year. And it's just this like golden hour at the end of the day, and the sense of, okay, am I prepared to be really strong? Am I going to dig down deep and do this? I mean, I'm a single woman, right? So there's a lot of like depth, I think, for us in Vermont, especially when we are in these like moving towards the Northeast Kingdom, a lot of these places where it's so quiet, you know, I feel like I live on the moon. How am I going to do this time? Am I going to be okay this winter? Am I going to make it? Every year in Vermont, this time of year, I still kind of wonder, like, did I learn my lesson last year? Did I figure it out?
Good luck, everyone. Hunker down and buckle up. This is Erica Heilman with Vermont Public.